Brother Commodore graduated down there, and Miss Charlene did, right? And some other, and Becky, and graduated there. Anybody else graduate from Golden State? But anyhow, and I was out there, worked there several years. And you know, really, I'll go back talking about college. If you're thinking about going to college or conferences or anything, pretty much if you're going from here, you're probably going to the airport, getting on a plane. When you do, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference where you fly to. You know, where you fly to. I realize that ended in a preposition. Couldn't figure a good way out of it. But anyhow, doesn't make a lot of difference what your destination is. And on the other hand, if you do decide to drive, I think it's about 1,200 miles to Northern California, about 1,700 miles to Lexington. So it's further, I guess, but not, you know, night and day difference. It's not like we're the other side of the earth or something. If you get on an airplane and fly into Lexington, we pick you up. You know, it's a mile and a half from the airport over to the college. And when I fly into Lexington, when the plane touches down, I turn on my phone, call my wife, and say, we just touched down, and she's at the curb before I get there. And about a mile and a half to our house, about a mile to the college. Why don't you stand, turn your Bibles. I'll switch and preach a little bit different message than I thought I might have earlier. Romans chapter 5. I'll preach about 30 minutes now, which will make us, I guess, a little bit later than you normally are on Wednesday, but with the special group and everything in. But I'll preach right about 30 minutes, just to let you know. So if you need to leave now and, you know, or whatever, I understand. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only so, Romans 5, 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Difficult times we have, those tribulations, the trials, the hardships that come into our lives, those are good for us, the Bible says in verse 3, because they worketh patience, or the idea is perseverance. Hanging on, going on. And then that perseverance is the idea of the word patience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, and so on. Hope is... I'm going to preach tonight on the along the line of patience or perseverance out of that verse. You may want to turn over into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read a couple verses there also. Next book over in the Bible, Romans and then Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Thank you for Brother Shearer and the decades through which he's labored here, partnering with you and the way you've worked in hearts and this church has been built. We pray that you'd continue to bless the ministry. And Holy Spirit, now guide my mind as I preach, speak to hearts as I speak to ears, and apply the message appropriately, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I want to give an introduction here and talk a little bit, and I roam around some. Is that what the handheld is for? Where'd it go? Okay. And I roam around some and give a little bit of introduction here. And some of the idea of this message that I'm preaching tonight, of course, you know, Bible principles and scriptural principles, so on. Some of it came from a great missionary named William Carey. William Carey is sometimes called the father of modern missions, and appropriately called the father of modern missions. He was born in 1761. He died in 1834. So you figure about 1800 for his life and impact a little over 200 years ago. And he was a pastor, preacher in England during that time, 1780s, 1790s, and started getting a burden for reaching lost people around the world. It occurred to him that, you know, if people without Christ are lost, and the Bible tells us they are, then that we ought to get the gospel to them too and give them an opportunity to be saved. And that's why your church, our church, pretty much every church supports missions and sends missionaries around the world, because people don't become lost after they hear the gospel and reject it. They already are lost until they hear the gospel and accept it. And so Carrie started getting a burden for that, and he started talking about at different pastors' fellowships and so on, talking about the need to reach the heathen, people who had never heard the gospel. And that was a new idea. It just wasn't being done in the church there in England at that time. And these independent, pretty much Baptist people, but they weren't sending out missionaries. Story is told that Carey was speaking one day at a pastor's fellowship about the need for missionaries and to reach the heathen and get the gospel all around the world so people would have an opportunity to be saved. And that as he was speaking, or when he concluded, a senior member of the pastor's fellowship stood up and said, "Mr. Carey, sit down. If and when God chooses to save the heathen, he'll do it without your help or mine." And you read different accounts, it's disputed whether or not somebody actually said that, but that certainly was the sentiment. And the idea, just missions weren't existing. And Carey kept going along that line. He left and went to India in 1793, and God used him mightily there. And so, I mean, literally, he did start the modern missions movement, modern beginning in 1800 or so, 1793 when he went to India. But they he started the modern missions movement, and in that sense, he changed the world. There's not a lot of people that change the world. And I certainly haven't, and you haven't either. But Carey did. He got to India. He stayed there for 41 years, translated the Bible into Bengali and Sanskrit and a lot of other, probably 44 different languages and dialects. Started a college. A lot of the languages into which he's translated the Bible, he had to come up with an alphabet because they hadn't been written before he got there. He's a brilliant man, and made an impact on the caste system in India. I mean, he helped change the society there in India. In addition to starting the modern missions movement, he had a big impact on the world. And Carey was talking and thinking about his life, and apparently thinking about his biographer or what somebody would say at his funeral, Carey said, "If he give me credit for being a plotter, he will describe me justly. Anything beyond that will be too much. I can plot. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything." And, you think about that. Here's a man that changed the world, and what does he say? Well, if my biographer or whoever brings the eulogy at my funeral will describe me as a plotter, he'll be right. Anything beyond that will be too much. I can plot, I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything. And that's the sentiment of the scripture that we just read. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Romans, that was 1 Corinthians 15. Romans 5, we talked about tribulation, work of patience, or perseverance, plodding along, moving forward. Carey said, as Christians, it's not how fast you can run, it's can you plod. You look up the word plod, we don't use it a lot anymore. Maybe you use it up here in the farms more. When I think of plodding, I think of a big old Clydesdale. I'm not a farmer, not a horse guy necessarily, but I think of a big old Clydesdale type horse, draft horse, that'd be a good word, and just kind of plodding along, slowly moving, not going anywhere in a hurry. And if you're going to accomplish anything in life, the issue is not how fast you can run. The issue is how long can you keep going. We're from Lexington, Kentucky. They call that the thoroughbred or the horse capital of the world. And when it comes to thoroughbred horse breeding for race horses, Lexington, Kentucky is the horse capital of the world. I'm not for the horse racing. I don't go to the races. I don't gamble, which is what it's all about. But it is the horse. I mean, they breed them and raise them there. And, it's in the area. And right across the highway from the college, we've got Calumet Farm, one of the oldest, most famous horse farms in the world. And, Triple Crown winners come out of that. Again, I don't go to the races. I'm not into that. And I don't bet on them. I wouldn't have anything to do it. But you live there. You can't help see. And you look across the highway. It does make for a pretty view out the window. And you've got these white fences and green grass and the horses. And they're beautiful, graceful animals. Thoroughbreds are bred for speed. You've got long, spindly legs and sleek bodies and so on like that. Very fragile. You know, they trip or break a leg or something. They're gone. But they're fast. A few years ago, my wife wanted to go to Mackinac Island for an anniversary. And I think maybe it was our 40th. And, so we went up there, northern Michigan. And, that's a romantic place. You say, how is it a romantic place? They don't allow cars on the island.
Right.
And so somehow that makes it romantic. I offered to take her car away from her for a month. She said that wouldn't be romantic. But anyhow. So that makes it romantic. So we went up there to Mackinac Island. And you take a ferry boat across. It's an island. And you got your luggage with you. We spent two nights on the island or something like that. Night or two anyhow we spent out there, whatever we could afford. And there on the island, and you get off the ferry boat, and you got your luggage and all that. And it's an island, and so you're going up a hill to all the motels. You know, you're up big hills. And I'm thinking, how am I getting my... But you don't have to worry. They've got taxis, which is a big wagon, with about two or three or four of those big old Clydesdale-type horses out in front of them. And they load on our luggage. My wife's alone's enough to wear you out. But anyhow, they load on our luggage, and they load on other people's luggage. You got a big old wagon. Long as one section of pews here, and full of luggage, and up this big old steep hill, and those old horses just plod along up the hill. Looks like it's not even work to them. Those thoroughbreds couldn't do that. And as far as that goes, those Clydesdales aren't going to win any races. But if you are into anything in life, if you're going to accomplish anything in life, certainly if you're going to accomplish anything for Christ, the issue isn't how fast can you start or how fast can you run. The issue is going to be, can you plod? And I want to challenge you tonight to decide, I'm going to be a plodder. You look at successful people in any area of life. Whether you're talking about ministry, you're talking about secular work. You talk about somebody, NBA draft is tonight. And, somebody that's successful there. And, you start off, you've got somebody with a lot of talent, but you also have somebody who has worked hours and hours and hours and hours in a weight room, on the driveway, in the gym. I mean, he has plodded along. He's missed a lot more shots than he's made, but he kept plodding. And he had a lot, would try and do those different dribbling drills that my son used to do, back and forth and around between your legs and all that kind of stuff. And he missed that ball a whole lot before he got where, that's no problem. You're guarding me. No big deal. If you're going to be successful in any area of life, you're going to have to be a plodder. You can look at people that are successful and say, well, he's just got a lot of talent. He got all the breaks. He happened to be in a good area. No, they had a definite pursuit, as Kerry did, and they plodded. They kept going when others quit. They showed up when others stayed home. They cared. They just stayed with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what it takes to be a success in any area of life. And certainly, talking about finances and paying your bills. It'd be nice if you got a big inheritance or the stock that you don't have tripled in value or but it doesn't work that way. You're going to pay your bills, it's plodding one step at a time.
Yep.
I was on the phone with my administrative assistant today, and he was talking with a guy making $400 a week or so, and behind on his school, and saying, "Look, man, you got to just, you pay your tithe, you pay your school bill, you live on what's left.
Yep.
You figure it out. You go to work every day. It isn't hard, but you just, well, I'm waiting for my tax. No, you plod if you're going to pay your bills. Any kind of task that you do. I got a lot going in my life. I, vice president of Bible college, run that day to day, out with the tour group, bus ministry, work in the bus ministry, visit on a route just about every Saturday. I'm in Lexington. My wife and I do together. And, family and personal life, everything else. And I keep trying to find ways to get a lot of work done without doing a lot of work. But I found there isn't any. At least I haven't found it yet. Seems to me the only way I've found to get a lot of work done is to do a lot of work.
That's it.
It'd be nice if you could not do any work and everything just get done. But it doesn't happen that way. If you're going to accomplish anything in life, you're going to have to be a plotter. And that's what it's going to take for your tasks at home. That's what it's going to take, projects around the house. That's what it's going to take to raise children. Be nice if you could take children and sit them down when they got to be about 7, 8, understand, and say, "Look, I'm going to give you you got your son just turned 9 or about turned 9 or 10 or something. If you could just sit him down and say, look, what's his name? Mark. Then, as far as that goes, it would have been nice if I could have taken you in Bible college and sat you down and said, Brother Rick, let me tell you, see, this is it. 1, 2, and pretty much you did. I mean, but that was because you had parents that taught you line by line. And say, look, let me just tell you, here's what you need to know. Number one, you got to have good character. You got to stay out of big sin. You got to you got to work hard. You got to read your Bible every day. You got to pray. You want to put God for, and your 10-year-old son will say, "Okay, Dad, got it." And that's it. But it doesn't happen that way. I tried it. It didn't work. We had 3 children. Tried with the college kids. It doesn't work. It takes line upon line upon line upon line and staying after it and staying after it and staying after it. You're going to build a marriage. Preacher said he'd been married 48 years. Faithful, dedicated to his wife and to each other. Our marriage, my wife and I, were married 46, not quite 46 years ago, August 2nd, 1971. And we usually round up in the summer as we tour. It'll be 46 years on August 2nd. And we stood before Dr. Lee Robertson, Highland Park Baptist Church. He said, "Do you want this woman to be thy wedded wife?" I said, "Yes," or "I do," or whatever. "Yes. Give her to me." She's the one. And she said she'd love me and would do all those things. Be neat if, you build a marriage, that's all it took, and you never had a fuss, you never had a disagreement, you never had to re-examine how you're doing things or where things are. But it doesn't work that way. It takes going back and going back and working. I mean, you got to work at it every day.
Amen.
It doesn't just happen because you said, "Well, once I do." I said, "I like bus ministry. I taught a Sunday school class, first grade boys, 17 years.
Praise the Lord."
And, I'm working the bus ministry, been in the bus ministry over 35 years. I love bus ministry. My personality, there's some people, you've had JoJo Moffitt out here a lot. We were in the bus ministry together. She and Brother Roy were in the bus ministry. My wife and I were in the bus ministry. They'd go out, she'd go out and sign up 20 kids in 20 minutes, and 15 of them would come the next day and so on. It never worked that way for me. My personality is not like that. But you know what I found? If I stay out there and keep visiting and keep knocking on doors, that after 2 or 3 hours, a few would promise to come, and a couple of those 10 that promised would show up. And if I stayed after that, week after week after week, sooner or later, you'd build a bus route.
Amen. That's right.
It doesn't happen quickly. It doesn't happen fast. It just stays staying after it. And, you know, I can't attract people with my great personality, but I can plot. As far as that goes, I don't know any college students. I don't know anybody much that's ever met me. You know, some people you meet and you walk away and you just say, boy, he's a nice fella. I like him. I mean, there are people like that. You know, I'm not that guy. I don't think anybody's ever met me and walked away and said, boy, he's a nice guy. I really like him. But I tell the college students I wear well.
Praise the Lord.
I'll be the same next week, next year, 10 years, 20 years.
Amen.
I'll be there for you.
Yep, that's right.
I'll pick you up when you stumble. I'll correct you if you need it. I'll encourage you when you need it.
Yep. You sure will.
But I'm for you, and I'll be there for you. I don't attract people with personality or pizzazz or anything like that. Somebody will say, smile, Brother Jorgensen, and I probably should smile more. But I wear well. I can plod. You know, it just, if you're going to be successful in anything, it takes staying with it. Bible reading. I read my Bible.
Amen.
One pastor friend of mine says, I got saved at 19 years of age or something on my way to a secular college, play basketball, and I got saved that day. The fella gave me a Bible. I've not missed reading it one day from that day to this. I think that's a great testimony. But it's not mine. It's probably not anybody else's in this room. Maybe it is. I don't know. If it is, God bless you. I'm for you. But if you're going to be a successful Bible reader, it's not going to be, I'm going to start reading 15 chapters a day. It's not going to be a decision I'll never miss another day in my life. It's going to be, I'm going to plot. I'm going to read a chapter today and two chapters tomorrow and three chapters another day. And I'll get on this, I got this schedule they gave out on church where I'm going to read through it in a year. And I started following that and I missed. And now I'm behind. But you know what? I'm not going to quit.
Amen.
Just because I'm a week behind, maybe I'll just skip that week. Come back to it in vacation or whatever. And you know what? If I read all my Bible except what I would have read in 1 week, that's pretty good.
Amen.
As far as that goes, you get that close, you probably read that extra week in December just to get it done. But you're going to have to stay after it. You're going to have to be a plotter. It doesn't happen quickly. And same thing with anything you're going to do in life, your prayer life.
Yep.
Well, I tried praying, it doesn't work. It doesn't work if you don't stay after it. Just keep on praying. Till light breaks through, the Lord will answer. He'll answer you.
Yes.
God keeps His promise. His word is true.
Yes, sir.
Just keep on praying till light breaks through.
Yep.
We're the soul winning.
Yep.
And anything, you know, serving God. And you get out and you witness and you witness and you witness. Not everybody to whom I witness gets saved. A lot of them don't. Some, you know, I'll take a gospel tract and give somebody and say, Bible verses in there let you know how you go to heaven. Wouldn't that be a good thing to know? Sometimes they say, oh, I'm okay. Sometimes they say, no. Sometimes they say, boy, it sure would.
Yeah.
And some of those get saved.
Amen.
And not everybody to whom I'm not world's greatest soul, but I do plot along at it, and I win some. And you're probably not the world's greatest soul winner either. But if you plot along, but rather than say, well, that's just not my gift, why don't you say, I'm going to be a plotter. I'm going to start at it. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to take some tracts. At least you ought to take some tracts, pass them out around your neighborhood, and invite your neighbors to church. And, and say, well, I'm not much, and it's not going. And, you know, the exciting thing is when you win somebody to Christ or you help somebody, the good that's done is done forever. If somebody gets saved and then they backslide and they get out of God's will, hey, they're still saved.
Amen.
And if you get somebody saved and you get them in Sunday school class and you teach them and they go out and win people to Christ, everybody that they led to Christ is still saved even if they backslide.
Right.
And they fall out of church or they go join a different church or they go do something else. Hey, all the good that they did is still done. The people they led to the Lord are still saved. The
Amen.
Sunday school lessons they taught are still benefiting the people that heard them.
That's right.
Now, I'd like for them to keep going on. But look, the secret to anything in life and being a success at anything in life, especially anything for God, is being a plodder. It's not a matter of how fast I can run. It's a matter of, can I keep going? Can I be like that old Clydesdale up there on the island, just trudging along, pulling my weight, carrying it? We went down to the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center this afternoon. And reading about those, you know, the Lewis and Clark and the men with them. Hey, they didn't get to the Civic by going fast.
That's right.
They went 20 to 40 miles an hour, it said, coming down the Missouri River towards St. Louis, when I think at the very end, you know, coming home. But going out, boy, it was pulling those huge dugout canoes up the hills around the Great Falls, a step at a time with torn up feet and half dead. They decide we're going to keep going or die. And they did it.
Yep.
Not because they ran fast, but because they were plodders. And they kept going. I think greatest person in the ministry after the death of Christ and the resurrection, this New Testament time here, would have to be the Apostle Paul. If you look at the Apostle Paul and you say, Paul, what's the secret to your ministry? You know, was Paul one of those guys that you met him and you thought, boy, he's such a good guy. He's got a great personality. Good, you know, he's got to be the, you know. Was it your good look? You know, the Bible, 2 Corinthians 10:10, it says his bodily presence was weak and his speech is contemptible. So he wasn't much of a preacher. People heard him speak and they said, maybe a speech impediment, who knows? Highly educated, probably used good grammar. But he wasn't much of a preacher, and his bodily presence was weak. He wasn't much to look at, according to the Bible, 2 Corinthians 10:10. Paul, what was the secret to your ministry? 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 28, he says, I worked harder in labors more abundant.
Yep.
Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. And he starts giving ways in which he's more of a minister than some of those fakes. And his number one thing is, in labors more abundant.
Yep.
In other words, I worked harder. They worked and quit. They worked and went home. I worked and stayed at it. And I just worked harder than they did. That was a secret to his success. That was a secret to William Carey's success. If he give me credit for being a plotter, he will describe me justly. Anything beyond that will be too much. I can plod. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything. And I want to challenge all of us tonight, me included, to decide, you know, the areas in your life where you're having difficulty or it seems like you're struggling and it's just not happening quickly and it's not happening like you wish it would, just decide, I'm going to keep plodding. I'm going to keep going forward and keep doing what God wants me to do. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.